This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Hello, very good evening. It's 5 minutes past nine on LBC. Welcome back to our open phone-in on COVID-19 issues. We will come back to your calls in a moment. But first, it's twice a night. Simon Marks is joining me from Washington. Lots of developments over the last couple of hours, Simon.
Yes, very much so. Ian, if you were with us a couple of hours ago, you will know that President Trump began his day by expressing absolutely no apologies, no condolences, no contrition, recognizing no culpability for the role that he played inciting those riots that led to the invasion of Capitol Hill, the ransacking of the U.S. Capitol building, the cradle of democracy. Well, by the time he got to Texas to take one last lingering look at that border wall that he claims he's built along the U.S. border with Mexico, at least a stretch of it, the president was sufficiently emboldened to scoff at the notion that Vice President Mike Pence might use the 25th Amendment to turf him out of power.
Before we begin, I'd like to say that free speech is under assault like never before. The 25th Amendment is of zero risk to me, but will come back to haunt Joe Biden and the Biden administration. As the expression goes, be careful what you wish for.
Extraordinary comments from the President of the United States, perhaps redolent of the argument that he used to make during the election campaign that Joe Biden lacks the mental acuity to be President of the United States. Is he suggesting that Democrats might turn against the President-elect shortly after he is sworn into office in 8 days' time? But again, absolutely no indication that Donald Trump feels vaguely constrained by any of the actions that are being taken against him on Capitol Hill, including, of course, the start of impeachment proceedings that will get underway tomorrow. Now, while the president is out of town, at the very moment that he started speaking in Texas, it was notable that perhaps they had timed the start of their press conference to coincide with a moment when they knew Donald Trump wouldn't be watching television. Officials with the Department of Justice and the FBI finally broke their silence over the events that took place here last Wednesday. They said the public will be shocked by the evidence they are gathering about the violence perpetrated by the president's conspiracy theory believing supporters. They said they've already identified more than 170 people who ransacked the Capitol building. They say they've charged more than 70 of them, and they warned that their effort to unmask all the perpetrators and to neutralize the threat posed to America by President Trump's violent supporters will take years. Listen to the words of acting U.S. Attorney Michael Sherwin.
We're looking at significant felony cases tied to sedition and conspiracy. Just yesterday, our office organized a strike force of very senior national security prosecutors and public corruption prosecutors. Their only marching orders from me are to build seditious and conspiracy charges related to the most heinous acts that occurred in the Capitol. And these are significant charges that have felonies with prison terms of up to 20 years. In addition to that, we're looking and taking a priority with cases in which weapons were involved and cases in which destructive devices were involved. As people know through news reports, there were pipe bombs found outside the Capitol. The ATF is working on that. Metro Police is working on that. FBI is working on that to find that individual or individuals who planted those devices. So in addition to just those rogue cases we're looking at, we're going to focus on the most significant charges as a deterrent, because regardless of if it was just a trespass in the Capitol or if someone planted a pipe bomb, you will be charged and you will be found.
And he said arrests are already underway all over the United States. From President Trump, that lack of contrition today has really posed a challenge for Republicans on Capitol Hill. His description of his speech last week to the Save America rally as totally appropriate has been rejected by Kevin McCarthy, who is the Republicans' leader in the House of Representatives. Notably, Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, the Senate majority leader, is declining to comment as to whether he agrees that the president's speech was totally appropriate. The head of the Republican National Committee, Rona McDaniel, whose office is on Capitol Hill, as you heard there, were targeted with a pipe bomb last Wednesday, says that everyone bears responsibility to reflect on the rhetoric leading up to the abhorrent violence of last week, including the president. So she is the first top official within the Republican Party openly saying that the president is responsible in part for what took place in this city last Wednesday and the investigation that it has now engendered.
Simon, there are lots of warnings about what might happen next Tuesday. They're not just that the inauguration might be disrupted, but also state houses in all the different states across the America might face violent action. This is a bit of a quandary, isn't it? Because the more people talk about it, it almost makes it more likely to happen. Is there any sense that maybe law enforcement people, that the media might not talk about this so much over the next few days?
Well, they definitely spoke during that briefing about evidence that has not yet been placed into the public domain. They pointed to the fact that social media is obviously alive with conversation about what's going on, and they said they'd received over 100,000 pieces of digital evidence to back up some of the criminal cases that they're bringing. But I think that the overwhelming sense that you got from the press conference that we've just seen, and also from the events of the last 4 or 5 days, is that this country is now engaged in a reset, a realization that there are millions of people out there who believe that Joe Biden should not be sworn in as president of the United States next week. They buy the lie that Donald Trump has been selling, that the election was rigged and was fraudulent, and that some of them are willing to take very serious violent actions in a bid to undermine the inauguration next week, the affirmation of the election result, even some of them were shouting in the Capitol last week to hang Pence, to go after lawmakers, kidnap them and threaten them with a risk to their lives. So all of this is causing, I think, society more generally to come to understand that this isn't a problem that disappears with the swearing in of Joe Biden. In many ways, it's a problem that is only going to grow for as long as you've got lots and lots of people out there with lots and lots of weaponry who believe that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president, and a current president, Donald Trump, who on 3 separate occasions today has had the opportunity to look directly into the camera and tell his supporters to stand down and lay down their weapons, and on 3 separate occasions he has evaded that responsibility.
It was also interesting tonight that I think none of the US networks carried Donald Trump's speech live. They all carried the press conference at the FBI, which was at the same time. And yet the BBC and Sky did carry it live. We didn't because we were doing something else. But that is quite significant, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, CBS, I must tell you, did carry it live, but they cut away from Donald Trump's remarks in Texas to go to the DOJ, Department of Justice, FBI press conference. I think it's worth underscoring. It's unbelievable that we've had to wait 6 days for the first briefing from anyone at the Department of Justice or the FBI about the threat that we know the FBI believes exists to Americans, not just in Washington, but from coast to coast. So I think that there was heightened interest in what we were going to hear in that press conference. But earlier in the day, when Donald Trump was talking just before he boarded Air Force One to fly to Texas and started suggesting that the real threat wasn't his incitement of violence last Wednesday, but what the Democrats had done during the course of last year's Black Lives Matter protests, at least one television network here, MSNBC, not only cut away from him, but distinctly said to the audience, we are not going to give him our airtime to continue promulgating these lies unchallenged. So he was taken off the air there. He's been grousing all day about his inability to tweet, saying that big tech is engaged in a bid to silence conservative Alternative Voices and terminate people's First Amendment rights under the Constitution to self-expression. That notably has stuck in his craw, but again, absolutely no contrition expressed whatsoever, and not even human decency, just not even condolences for the families of those people who lost their lives during the course of last Wednesday's assault.
And what's, just finally, what's happening on Capitol Hill today? Because the 25th Amendment thing clearly isn't going to happen. Are the Democrats going to go ahead with trying to impeach Donald Trump?
Well, they are tomorrow. I think it's just worth making the point that we were told at that press conference by the Department of Justice and FBI that Capitol Hill, the building and its grounds, are still considered a crime scene by investigators who are continuing to gather evidence there as to what took place last week. There are also massive questions stacking up for the Capitol Hill police force after the FBI and the DOJ confirmed in that press conference that intelligence relating to the threat of violence last Wednesday was passed to the Capitol Hill police force in advance of the riot. Impeachment gets underway tomorrow. President Trump faces one charge, insurrection. This is not going to be a difficult case to make. It's not going to take more than a day and a half, I suspect. Democrats already have the votes in the bag to impeach him. So he will become the first president ever to be impeached twice by the House of Representatives. What we don't know is where this goes from here. Is there any opportunity to put him on trial quickly in the U.S. Senate before Joe Biden's inauguration? Seems highly unlikely to me. Or is he brought back to go on trial after Joe Biden becomes president in a bid by his critics to try and prevent him from ever seeking public office again? You know, a couple of times today, Donald Trump has sort of darkly pointed out that he's got more support out there than anybody really understands. That is as much a threat to Republicans on Capitol Hill as anything else. And they have to be wondering to themselves, even after next Wednesday's inauguration and the impeachment of President Trump this week, how are they ever going to be rid of him and the pernicious influence that he has had over Republican politics here?
Simon, thank you. That's Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent.